الله. الحمد لله على نعمة الإسلام وكفى بها نعمة. الحمد لله على منة الولاية وكفى بها منة. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا النبي المؤيد والرسول المسدد والمصطفى الأمجد والمحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. على آله الطيبين الطاهرين سفن النجاة الأعلام، من ركب سفينتهم نجا ومن تخلف عنها هلك وغرق. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we have been talking about the merits in which we will be able to allow the powers of the divine that have been instilled within our own soul to overcome the satanic powers, we are trying to look at the steps that will enable us to achieve that goal. And we have spoken in the past few days about the first step to achieve that particular goal, and that is, we said, contemplation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to always be in a state of contemplation, or to allocate some time whereby in that day, in every day that I live, I must allocate time where I contemplate about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described those people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard, is that الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا سُبْحَانَكَ مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. They remember, they contemplate about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He has created, and they say and confess to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in your infinite glory you have not created the heaven and the earth out of vain, but you have created them for a purpose. So prevent us or keep us away from the torment of the hellfire. Step number two is self-examination, and what we call in Arabic musharata. What does that mean, to have musharata on oneself? That means to make a covenant, and a very strong covenant, to make a commitment between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby you resolve not to do anything that would violate God's commands. Yani I, as an individual, between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will set some sort of a limit on a daily basis, that for example, for the following 3 hours, I will make a resolution and a commitment with Allah that I will not violate His laws. I will start with the minimum time possible. And then on a daily basis, I extend that time. In the course of doing that, I must fill that time, which consists of 3 hours or 4 hours or 1 day or whatever you may be able to commit yourself to. I must engage during that time in activities that would prevent me from indulging in haram. It is no use making a commitment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without substituting that time with something useful. Among the things that I may be able to do are things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed our attention to and his household. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Things that he himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to practice. He advocated and invited his nation to do so. For example, there is a riwayah on the authority of Imam Abi Abdullah As-Sadiq salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, in a book called Al-Mu'min, Kitab Al-Mu'min. This book lists the rights of mu'min over one another. What are the rights of mu'min over one another? In that book, there is a hadith that says, if a mu'min goes to visit his brother, simply for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing urges him or compels him to visit his brother save to satisfy and to gain the pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is quoted that in that hadith, one man during the time of A'imma, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, went to visit his brother. At the door, he found a malaika. He found an angel knocking on the door of that mu'min. That angel said to that believer, "What brings you here?" He said, "What brought me here is that I wanted to visit my brother for no other reason except to gain the pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He said, "For that reason, Allah has sent me to this door. For Allah, the peace, grant you peace." And He tells you, there is no position for you with Allah except Jannah. There is no position for you. I don't go out in order to seek any favors from that Muslim brother. So in these 3 hours that I commit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I commit to Allah that I will not violate His laws, I must fill them with something useful. Either visiting the sick, visiting my Muslim brothers, engaging in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contemplating about my affairs as to what I have I done in the past and to what level I have reached thus far, in order to keep a watch over myself, to keep it within the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that regard, he said, whoever says every day, and this is a riwayah on the authority again of Al-Imam al-Sadiq salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Whoever makes sujood, goes on a state of sujood, and reads in his sujood, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, 7 times. Imam Sadiq says, Allah has an angel which is stationed in the first heaven, the heaven of dunya. His name is Ismail. When someone goes to prostration and says, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, that angel will reply to that person. He says, Abdi, Inna Arhamar Rahimeen qad sami'a maqulatak. Meaning, Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate, has heard and listened to your supplication of calling on Him by His two names, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ask whatever you want and Allah shall come to your rescue. So we need to fill that time of ours. Instead of filling our times, for example, with the sessions of ghibah and namima, with the sessions where we dissect our Muslim brothers and sisters to the extent that we reveal everything about them in our so-called sessions of baraza, or God knows what sessions. Inshallah, baraza is not used for these things. It's used to contemplate on the affairs of Muslims and how we can make our situation better, not worse. So in these situations, we can promote ourselves closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another narration, it said that whoever goes to sujood and he says 10 times, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will directly respond to him and say, Abdi, I have heard you, invoke me, I will answer you. And it was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whenever he used to wake up from his sleep, the first thing he would do, of course not at the time of Fajr, after, when he goes to sleep after Fajr, for example, or when he is taking a rest or whatever, the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do after waking up is to go in a state of sujood. To go in a state of sujood. Why would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go in a state of sujood as the first action he would do? Because he says, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest station for a human being, for a slave of Allah, for the servant of Allah, to be in close proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when he is in a state of prostration, in a state of sujood. And for that reason, Iblis was condemned. For that reason, Iblis was condemned. He could not see himself prostrating at the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Adam. And for that reason, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was eternal on Iblis. So much so that Iblis dialogued with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he tried to reach a compromise. He said to Allah what? And this is something we must be very aware of when we are about to indulge in acts of worship. He said, Ya Allah, exempt me from prostrating to Adam, and I shall worship you. A kind of worship where no one from the past or the ones to come would have ever contemplated to you in worship like the way I will worship you. What did Allah say to Iblis in reply? He said, I would like to be worshipped according to what I say, not to what you think. When I say something, you say, Rabbayka wa sa'dayk, O Allah. To you I respond, and I respond because in what you ask me to do is where my blessing from you I will get. It is not in what I think is right. For example, if someone says, I want to pray Salatul Dhuhr 5 rak'at, will it be correct? It won't be correct because Allah says 4 rak'at. You say, I want it 5. It doesn't work. I was dialoguing with one of our brothers yesterday and he mentioned something very useful to me. He said, if someone wants to, for example, why 7 times, Ya Arhamar Rahimi? Why I can't make it 8 times? Because if you bring a geologist and you tell him, I want to dig for gold, he says you have to dig 1,000 meters. If you say, why not 15 meters? He says, because if you dig 15 meters, you will get zinc. You're not going to get gold. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you mention 7 times, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, I know the wisdom behind the 7 times. You don't have to. So you comply. You don't do it 8. You don't do it 10. You don't do it 13. We go tawaf 7 times. Wallah, I want to be generous. I want to make them 8. Who are you to make it 8? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make it 8. The imma salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhim did not make it 8. So we must comply to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in order to bring us in proximity with His laws and with His divine domain. Then, you may from time to time say, if now I want to commit myself to 3 hours where I will not violate God's commandment, it's a huge task. In fact, it is not. What makes it a huge task is that Satan comes and he magnifies the problem in front of you. Like every time that you want to commit. For example, I want to go to prayer. Shaitan comes and he says to you, but now it's afternoon. By the time you make wudu, by the time you get in the car, maybe you will get a traffic infringement notice. Maybe you cross a red light. Maybe the police will stop you. Maybe the car will break down on you. You pray at home, inshallah, inna Allah ghafoorun raheem. Shaitan magnifies the task of obedience to you. But when it is something to do with violating the laws of Allah, you would see that Shaitan comes to you and he makes things easy for you. He said, it's okay. You do it now, you repent tomorrow. You know, Shaitan is so wise that he does not tell you break God's laws and that's it. No, he tells you break them, but then make istighfar. Or break them and then go back to Allah. Allah will accept you. So much so that he will keep exercising that until he makes you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether. Because the more you indulge in sin, the more you will be away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone asked Al-Imam al-Sadiq, how close I can be to Allah? Or what my position to Allah is? He said, see, how close are you to sin? Sorry, how close are you to ta'a and how far are you from ma'siyah? You will know how close Allah to you or how far Allah is from you. When you are close to obedience, Allah is close to you. And when you are far away from obedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far away from you. And when you are close to sin, Allah is far away from you. And when you are far away from sin, Allah is close to you. So I am the one who can judge and say to myself how close I can be to Allah and how far I can be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the process of musharata, in the process of making this commitment, comes another step. And by the way, tafakkur, musharata, and the third one, which is muraqaba, they must come together at one time. They cannot be separated from one another. And what is muraqaba? Muraqaba is guarding oneself against evil, whereby I have my own police inside my conscience and my heart. That police is what? Wara. What is wara? Wara is to have the faculty where every time you contemplate to do something evil, something within your heart stops you from going any further. That wara is linked to what? Is linked to the piety and God consciousness in one's heart. To always remain conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart and mind. This muraqabah, it comes that during the period of musharaqah, during the time of stipulating condition not to violate God's law, one must constantly guard oneself against any evil acts. So they come simultaneously, one after another or together at the same time. Anytime we find ourselves contemplating to violate God's law, we must realize it is Satan who is intervening and must remember my condition or stipulation of condition not to violate God's law. Otherwise, I will not be able to be immune from violating the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I don't keep these two conditions in place or two steps in place. Musharata and muraqaba at the same time. To contemplate tafakkur and muraqaba, or musharata and muraqaba, must come the fourth step in order to ensure the first three, and that is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This stage which keeps you in place in pursuing the goal. However, what sort of remembrance I'm talking about? Is it the remembrance where I take my tasbih and I say subhanallah, or I say Allahu Akbar, I say alhamdulillah, I say subhanallah, I say astaghfirullah, without realizing fully and being aware of every tasbih I'm making? If I am only uttering this tasbih from lip service alone, then my tasbih to Allah and His remembrance from my side to His is not complete. Remembrance must be something that is in conjunction with every favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you, whether it is an inner favor or an outer favor, whether it is something within you or it is something from without. The things that within are the ability to speak, ability to hear, ability to eat, ability to sleep, ability to think, ability to reason. All these are inner favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outer favors are wealth, health, and so on and so forth. I must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in as far as these favors are concerned. And when I am thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I must indulge in such a remembrance whereby I tell myself, Ya Allah, in as much as I remember you with my lips, my organs and my heart and my mind can never repay you for one favor that you have given to me, and that is the favor of looking. The favor of being able to hear. The favor of being able to walk. There once a man who was complaining about his state of poverty. And he left the mosque. As he left the mosque to collect his pair of shoes, he did not find them. He said, La hawla wa la quwwata. Someone comes to the mosque to gain Allah's pleasures, his shoes get stolen. Ya Allah, innaka arhamur rahimin. Ya Allah, you are the most merciful. As he was walking and saying these words, he sees someone without a leg. He sits down and he cries. That person who comes to him with one leg, he says, why are you crying? He said, please leave me to my misery. He said, why? Tell me, maybe I can comfort you. He said, indeed, you are a wise person. You are with one leg and you are trying to comfort someone with two legs who has been complaining to Allah for losing his shoes. And you are remembering Allah, though Allah has taken one of your legs away. Because the satisfaction of a person comes from his heart, not from the materialistic things that he comes. Though sometimes we find it difficult to comprehend that someone may be able to walk with one leg, still he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors. There was a man at the time of Isa, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, who was sitting in one corner, and Nabiullah Isa, salamullahi alayhi, came to him. He said, oh uncle, is there anything I can do for you? He said, yes, I have a son. whom I have not seen for the past 2 days. It will be so grateful if you can find him for me. That man, when he was approached by Isa salamullahi alayhi, he found him saying, Alhamdulillahi alladhi aafani mimma btala bihi khayri. His remembrance was, grace be to Allah and praise and thanks be to Allah for elevating me or alleviating me from the problems that he has inflicted on others. Isa looked at this man, salamullahi alayhi wa ala nabiyyina wa alihi afdal salatu wa atammu taslim. He was bewildered by this dua. Alhamdulillah alladhi aafani, grace be to Allah, thanks be to Allah for curing me from the problems that he has inflicted on others. Yet, that man could not see, was crippled, and had no hands. And he's saying, Alhamdulillah, that Allah cured me from the problems that others have. Sayyidina Isa looked at him. He said, you're a walking hospital. What are you talking about? You don't have legs. You are crippled. You don't have hands. You cannot see. How is it that you are saying, Alhamdulillah, alladhi aafani? Thanks to Allah that he had cured me. He said, Ya Nabi Allah, I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about the spiritual. He said, elaborate, explain. He said, in my heart, I have never envied a mu'min. In my heart, I have never had any grudges against a Muslim. In my heart, I have never had any wishes that Allah would take the ni'mah and the favors from someone and that ni'mah comes to me. I have never envied anyone. So this is what I'm thanking Allah for, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Isa said, I will go and look for your son. He went for 2 days, he could not find him. On the third day, Sayyidina Isa found his son, but he found him dead. So he came back to the man. He said, I want to tell you something. Say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He said, cut the story short. Don't go into a prelude of preparing me. What is the situation? Because the only reason I was asking Allah to keep me alive so that I would keep a watch on my son so he would not go astray. If he is dead, I have satisfied my duty by Allah. Ya Allah, your presence to me is better for me than this world. The minute he uttered this world, after Isa salamullahi alayhi, telling him that his son has passed away, his soul departed his body to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, Imam Ali says, what did he say? He said, there are a group of people that Allah has created. Had it not been for the specific time that Allah has allocated for them to live in this world, their soul would have jumped out of their body simply to be in the presence of the divine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want this life. And they don't want its miseries. They would rather be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did these people achieve such close proximity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Through these 4 steps, which is tafakkur, musharata, muraqaba, and remembrance of Allah, which is dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the practical form, not simply by lip service. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those when they listen to anything, they would only follow what is best. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi at-tayyibina at-tahirin.